This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
And the you-know-what rolls out of Washington, D.C. So we're talking about Hawaii, and we're talking about what's going on in, of course, our nation's capital. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're going to kick it in a couple of different directions. What else is new if you're listening for the very first time? Hello and welcome to the show. This is how we roll here. It's about you, you, and that other guy in the back. And what's on your mind, the buzz in your backyard. So part of the buzz is, frankly, I'll tell you what everybody wants to talk about. It's the dictator, Kim Jong-un. When is that summit? What day is the summit? Where is that summit going to be? I have been asked that question a ton of times, as many times as I've been asked who was going to win the Kentucky Derby, which I did pick Justified. Pretty easy feat, as it was the favorite, although the track was muddy. It's been kind of muddy as to what specifically is going to happen and where this meeting is going to happen. However, it's looking like, and the rumor is, that it might take place in Singapore now. Singapore is what they're saying, the Kim Jong-un meeting with the press in June. Sort of makes sense, right? It's in Asia, but it's not in Korea. It's not the DMZ. There was a lot of rumors about that, but that's not what's going to happen. In the meantime, if we're talking about foreign relationships, how about the relationship with Iran? Big decision Tuesday. The press decides about the Iran deal. You would have to think that what's going to happen here with the future, because European countries are piling on. They're trying to put pressure on Washington to stay in the 2015 agreement. But our prez is threatening to withdraw from the deal, which provided Iran with relief from economic sanctions. So, personally, we had our foot on the gas and then let go. If you remember, Condi Rice and so many others were banging the drums to try to make this happen, to try to really put the pressure on. They finally did. And then it all was reversed. So the president said at 2 o'clock Eastern, I'll be announcing my decision on the Iran deal from the White House. He tweeted that out, his official pronouncement of when it would happen. He has until May 12th to decide whether to reintroduce U.S. sanctions on Iran. That would be, of course, a heavy blow to the agreement. Under the agreement with the U.S., France, Germany, Britain, Russia and China, Iran strictly is limited to the uranium enrichment capacity to try to show that it was not trying to develop atomic bombs. In exchange, Iran received relief that I mentioned. So, President Hassan Rouhani hinted that Iran could remain on the accord even if the U.S. dropped out. Well, that's the big deal. Is that playing politics and moving the night before anybody else can? I think it's pretty interesting. I don't know. They being the allies, want the U.S. to continue on. But I, if I'm reading the tea leaves, I'm not so sure that happens. I think it's, you know, it's a coin flip. I'm going to say it doesn't continue on. I'm sure the phone lines are still burning up. Let's put it that way. So the nuclear deal, trash it or not trash it. What do you think, America? I got a plenty of email on that. Michael said, Kate, I think that we need to really pull our pawns back. I love all these chess references. And say to Iran, we're out of here. Because what is really happening over there? Then I got something from Larry who says, no, it would be catastrophic. So I don't know. There is the chaos of conflict that exists in the quicksand of the Middle East. And we certainly have seen the clashes at the Gaza border. And the Palestinians have had many people wounded and killed. as they're being fired on from Israeli troops. So with the celebration of the 70th birthday of the State of Israel, the word about Iran is a big deal. Iran isn't making any demands on the U.S. In fact, its patrol boats have stopped harassing any of the warships we have in the Persian Gulf. Did you know that? I'm not so sure. Is it in our best interest? What is in our best interest? I mean, therein lies the question. What is our pain point? What's in our interest? Where do we need to go in the Middle East? It's so confusing, isn't it, with all the Syria nonsense and everything else in between. We stayed too long, we ate too much of the party, and we invested too much. So how do you slurk away, and when do you do it? I think that's part of the conversation. And how much do you leave behind to keep track of your frenemies? Let's leave it at that. Part of the conversation, for sure. For sure. I think other conversation centers around a couple of things, including, if we're sticking with politics, the Wall Street Journal dropping the hint that the Trump lawyers are going to decide by May 17th on whether or not there's going to be a conversation with Mueller or not, who is the special counsel looking into Russian interference of the 2016 election. Rudy Giuliani is one of Trump's attorneys. He's been all over the tube, quoted all over the newspaper, et cetera, all over the radio. And he said that Trump initially was willing to talk because he would be telling the truth. But the president's legal team, which has seen a shakeup, we know that, in the last couple of weeks and months, they're worried about a perjury trap. So when you're worried about a perjury trap, you're not letting your guy do that, especially if he's the president. Remember, Mueller named and indicted 13 Russians who he said tried to sway the election in Trump's favor. Odds are right now he wouldn't be interviewed, and Giuliani has said as much. So I'm going to say, even though questions have leaked out and they were made public because they were all over the New York Times, I'm going to say it is kind of a coin flip as to whether or not that's going to happen. That certain conditions would have to be met and everything else, or else there is no interview. And I'm leaning toward there is no interview. And the focus really is going to be on the Trump-Kim summit in June, because that's the beginning of June. June 9th, supposedly. And the 15th. Those are dates that have been talked about. Singapore is neutral enough, and Singapore has a history of hosting summits for leaders of other countries. So forget Switzerland, Mongolia, Sweden. I think they've all been crossed out, and it might be Singapore. We're talking numbers next. We can count on ATN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You have been lied to generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
That have descended upon Houston. And how about the $7 billion? That's the clawback from the Children's Health Insurance Fund. Kate Delaney here with another edition of We Can Count. Let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Do we talk about the insurance problem or the bugs first? Ooh, okay, we're going to talk about the clawback. So the Perez is proposing clawing back $15 billion in federal spending. And that's going to hit children's insurance. So here's the scoop on that. Half of the cut, $7 billion, so let me make sure I'm saying this right, billion, would come from the CHIP. CHIP is the acronym. It's a safety net program for low-income families. It's gotten bipartisan support. The White House said the reductions would not have an impact on the program. It has an enrollment of about 9 million people. They've been working with House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy on the rescission package, which would claw back billions Congress set aside, but the federal agencies didn't spend. Describing the package as the single largest rescission proposal in U.S. history, at the White House, they said that more than 30 programs would be cut overall if Congress approves the measure. So there's a couple things. There would be a reduction in a loan program that was intended to improve vehicle technology that hasn't been used since 2011. You snooze, you lose. And then there are a few other things as well, including $250 million in unspent money from the Ebola virus outbreak, unspent funds for Medicare and Medicaid pilot programs. And there's a whole list of programs that are either going to get resuscitated or they're just going to die on the vine. And a 1974 law gives the president power to send a list of rescissions to Congress, which can bypass procedural speed bumps, that's a good way to put it, as they consider the measure. In fact, President Clinton was the last president to submit a rescission request. So according to the Government Accountability Office, we haven't seen that since Clinton. So it has been a while. That means the phone rings in the secret little room. They answer it and say, wow, we haven't gotten a call since the 90s. But okay, President, Mr. President, sir, we're going to scramble and figure this out because we haven't. Nobody rang the phone, but you have rung the phone. So we must figure this out. What a nightmare when you think of Houston and bugs flying all over the place. Oh, nothing is worse for me. I'd rather have an elephant charge at me than have winged creatures flying in my face. When I was in college at Ohio University, they had the katydids that would, or the cicadas, that would descend upon you. It was weird. We had like an infestation of them, and it was kind of one of those things where you ran to get to your classes because you didn't want to them to fall on you, because they would, this is true, they would fall on you and then die, because that's what the cicada does apparently. Well, this is what it is. These winged creatures, these bugs, are aggressive termites, and that is frightening to me, but it totally makes sense. Think of the floods. So they're invading neighborhoods from the Fifth Ward to suburban areas like Baytown. I have a cousin that lives near there. And they call them, this is what the termites are called, Formosian termites. And they don't know how to get them, eradicate them all at once. They're trying to figure out, what do you do with that kind of a colony? Because their job is to reproduce. So they're starting new colonies everywhere. It's like a sick, twisted movie. That's what they're doing. Thousands. Now, initially, this species was discovered on Taiwan, but then China, and it's one of more than 3,000 termite species worldwide, a single colony of Formosan termites, that's how you say it, could contain several million insects compared to several hundred thousand bugs for what we're used to, the subterranean termite species that we have. Ugh. They're looking for food. So if they find your woodpile, your tree, your fence, look out, your wooden house could be their next Big Mac. And these colonies have been discovered in 12 states. Let me rattle off the states because you're all listening. I know that you're just huddled up against whatever device you have, so you can see if yours is one of the states. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. So that's where these colonies can come up. They say they swarm for a couple weeks around Mother's Day. Ugh. I can't even think of this anymore. I have to get off of this story because I don't want to see those flying termites. I don't want to see them. I don't live in Houston, though, thank goodness, because that would be very frightening to me. Very frightening to me. All right, how about this? This is pretty strange, but we did have another Southwest incident. I know, can you believe it? Southwest has had three things happen in the last, you know, 2.5 weeks. And they're fighting. I mean, their prices, I noticed they have all kinds of specials going on. And of course they do, because people are fearing the Southwest flight, which, you know, accidents happen, but the woman getting sucked out of the plane halfway, passengers pulling her back in, and then, of course, she died, and other people injured in that. Then another incident where they had to have an emergency landing, and now the Southwest plane coming from where I just came from, Baltimore, last week, at an airport called PWI, there was a truck that crashed into a Southwest flight that was sitting there, so it just collided with the plane, crashed into it. 172 passengers had just landed from Fort Lauderdale. So you can imagine the pictures that came out of that, because everybody has an iPhone or whatever, and they're taking them out and they're shooting them. Nobody was injured, so that's the good news. It was a white pickup truck, just crashed after midnight. But here's the thing. It did affect the passengers because the passengers reported they were kept on the plane for 2 hours. It was a ground crew truck that hit the 737 as it was headed to the gate. And somebody actually had taken a little video and they said, just my luck, plane crashes while taxiing to terminal, but everyone is okay, I think. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's awful. So social media, it was all over social media. Anytime anything happens, that's what they're doing. I mean, because they're there. They're sitting there on the plane, and they're stuck. So they had to wait for 2 hours to clear, till the scene was cleared. And I guess that would be protocol. What are you going to do? But that's going to make people unhappy that happened, because they land, and then what are they stuck doing? Because somebody in the truck crashed into the plane. Wow. While that was going on, please be careful with your selfies. One thing to take pictures of what's happening when a truck slams into your plane and you're upset and you're tweeting that to people or whatever. But how about the man who stopped by the side of the road to click a selfie with an injured bear? And you know what happened to him? He died. So when the animal revived, he mauled him to death. Prubha Batra was returning from a wedding in eastern India. He left his car to go to the bathroom. When he saw the animal, decided to take a photo with it. His companions warned him not to do it, but he wanted to approach the bear anyway. The animal then chased him and fatally mauled him. He died on the spot. Now, this is a debatable thing. The dead man's fellow passengers, a.k.a. friends, used their mobile phones to video the incident rather than try to rescue him. A stray dog tried to fight with a bear but failed to save the man from the bear's grip. So the victim's mutilated body was rescued from the bear after they reached the spot and tranquilized the bear. Too late then. Researchers have found India has the highest rate of deaths linked to selfies. From March 2014 to September 2016, this is the statistic, 127 reported selfie deaths in that period, 76 in India. Do not get out and take pictures with the bears. Meet you on the flip side here on ATN.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Pests, wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Excited to welcome to the show Jimmy Mosley. He's written a book called From the Outhouse to the White House. I love that title because it's so provocative. It really kind of pulls you in and makes you wonder, what's that about? And he's led such an interesting life. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me on America Tonight, Kate.
You know, here's the thing. You and I were talking about this a little bit off the air, and I certainly read about your background, and in reading the book, really got a great sense of who you are and what matters to you in your life. And you grew up in a what I call a pea shooter town, but one with a real soul, right? Tell us about your early beginnings.
Well, I started working at a very early age in life. My mom was a great influence. And, you know, just my story, as the way I grew up on that plantation in southern Mississippi, and I felt like my story was noteworthy and it just needed to be told. My name is Jimmy Mosley. I'm a retired Army veteran as well as a retired educator. My second career was a JROTC instructor at the high school level, and I had the privilege of working with kids another 20 years after my first 20 years in the military. And right now I'm pretty active in my church ministry.
You know, here's what's interesting. As far as what the book is concerned, as you said, you thought you needed to get it out there. Explain that. What made you write the book?
I felt that as an educator, I had a connection with my students. I found that over 60% of my students assigned to my ROTC came from a single parent household. And that was the connection that I had with them. The students were more interested in a relationship than learning classroom subject material. They wanted to know how Army life were, but more about how I had arrived to this stage of my life. And it was a good icebreaker, and it's always a good icebreaker for educators to give the students the opportunity to introduce themselves to the class, but they wanted to know about me. It appeared that my life was something new to them. The students would complete their class assignments in record time just to hear more about my plantation stories. And I had a coworker say to me, he said, "Man, these kids really enjoy hearing about your life." He said, "You need to document some of these stories." And that's what started tugging on me a little bit. And I ran out of excuses. I was just simply out of excuses. And I sat down and said, "Look, got to do this. I feel that the Lord has put it on my heart. So I got to make it happen."
So you've got to tell us some of these plantation stories. What are some of the stories that you've told and that you tell in the book that you think really resonate with people?
Well, I introduced my readers to extreme poverty. From outhouse to White House, my life actually started on a little shotgun house right outside of Itobina, Mississippi. And that's out there where Mississippi Valley State University is located, in case people didn't know. But in a shotgun house, it was like you look right through the front door and you look straight through the back. This house did not have indoor plumbing. So we had an outhouse way out back. And something as simple as toilet paper that we take for granted today. But we had Sears and Roebuck catalog back then, and that was kind of interesting. And I explain a little bit more of that in my book. But there were extreme poverty. There was a lot of racism. A lot of the plantation girls, even my sisters and brothers, you know, for a long time I held some resentment there because I felt like I could have stepped up and did more in terms of protecting them during times of abuse. So that was some pretty hard times there. But my single parent mom, I explained how she used that wisdom that was given to her from God and was able to keep our family together, you know. And I believe that as a people, we can take hate and replace it with faith and overcome those barriers.
Yeah, do you feel that that's what got you through the hard beginnings and what you learned from your mom and your faith?
Yeah, I feel like it was my faith and those are values that she implanted in me as a child. Whether she knew it or not, I was learning from those experiences. Even when it would rain in the little shotgun house, she would have us sit down on a little bench, cover up with a blanket, and she said, "Don't talk when it's raining because God is at work." And, you know, it was like, okay. And even as an adult today, I find myself when it's raining and I'm thinking about that and I'm saying, well, you know, God is doing his work now. So, you know, I have to really respect that. And, you know, my drill sergeant was the first real man I'm talking about. I wanted to become like this man. And I believe I became this man. And that became more real to me when I graduated from drill sergeant school. Well, first of all, I latched on to Drill Sergeant Wilder, and I started mimicking him. I started imitating him. I started singing like him. I started running like him, and I noticed how his uniform always looked so sharp. And he was the first, I would say, real man that I kind of just latched on to. And I think I mimicked him throughout my military career. And as I went through drill sergeant school, I had 92 of 93 votes, and it was because I had latched on to this guy and just wanted to be a drill sergeant. And I put my drill sergeant hat on, and I was the first to walk across the stage, distinguished honor graduate, got 92 out of 93 votes. And then I said, well, somebody didn't vote for me. And then I realized I didn't vote for myself. So, yes, I feel like God put my mom and put Drill Sergeant Wilder right there to help me out. That way I never use an excuse of not having a parent. And I tell my kids, it's a time out for excuses. Let's not use excuses. Let's go ahead and pursue our dreams and our goals. And I just kind of want to be an encouragement. I believe the stories that I have in Outhouse White House is going to be a great encouragement to a lot of single parent mothers and to a people, because as a people, we're going to have to get it together.
Oh, I so agree with that. And what you just said there, that's what I call a tweetable moment about just stop the blaming. And does it seem like people are, to you, are looking for those excuses, are looking to whine and not just do what you can simply do by embracing life?
Hey, I've seen it throughout the military 20 years, and I've seen it as a 20-year educator, and I continuously see it today. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And if I can just persuade one reader to just never give up on that dream or that goal and just know that God's always going to put somebody, he's got a ram in the bush, always a ram in the bush. You can look around and, you know, he's always got someone there that's going to kind of help you get over that next hurdle. But just if I can get one reader to just not give up on pursuing that dream or that goal, no matter how large, and you can look at my story as I came from an 8-year-old kid out on the plantation chopping cotton, no shoes, making the same amount of money as my mom. And he took me from that outhouse and led me all the way into becoming the NCOIC of Joint Service Operations at the White House and performing throughout the nation's capital in front of President Ronald Reagan and a few other presidents. And he took me there. And even though there were not many African-American men there, and there was a lot of racism and obscene phone calls, and I'm have to change my telephone number 4 or 5 times a month just to keep the obscene phone calls from going on all night. But God always pulled me through, and I am so grateful today, and I have no resentment for my life, and I just kind of want to give back to this great country.
Wow. What was that like, the White House experience? You described some of it there. Did you ever think you would end up in the position that you ended up in, where you would be in such high regard, really, to be all the way from, like you say, from the outhouse to the White House?
I had no idea. I do know that as a soldier, I wanted to be sharp. I just wanted to wake up early in the morning and just start cleaning the bathrooms and stuff. And even as a private, you know, they would call me out of formation to sing to the rest of the group. And I was mimicking Drill Sergeant Wilder, and it just took me all the way to the top. You know, I was an Army First Sergeant. It just got me to the top real quick. But I had no idea that, you know, it really wasn't work. I'm thinking it was like service, because I'm saying, whoa, man, why would a person want to give up something like this? It was a dream come true for me, joining the military. Man, I just know, you know, it was a God thing. But ending up at the White House is a mystery to me. I know I was overseas, and a recruiting team came by, and they pulled a few guys out. I was going up for the Sergeant Morales Club, you know, good soldiers. And I got interviewed, and I got a letter saying I was accepted to the Old Guard, the 30th U.S. Infantry Station in Fort Myer, Virginia. And I got selected. But when I got there and I seen, looked around, I didn't see anybody that looked like me. I was like, whoa, man. Okay. So I just started training, and I said, I'm going to be the best soldier that I can be, and I'm going to do this. And I became part of the Presidential Honor Guard and Congressional Escort. So I just started doing things, and I kind of enjoyed going out, you know, doing ceremonies at the White House, and, you know, the Army being the senior service. So you would always be in position over to the right. And then when I became the leader, you know, I got to march all the different units on the White House lawn as NCOIC, our service operations at the White House. I was pretty good at that. So drill sergeant school was, man, it was like easy. I took all the guys yelling. I said, well, let's go outside under the street lights at night, and I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to talk you through it. And I was so tied up in helping the other guys that was having problems, it got to the point where everybody just kind of recognized me as distinguished honor graduate, and I know that was a God. It had to be a God thing. There's no way I could have did this without God. So I am just so grateful. Some people say, you know, I should hold some resentment toward a lot of the plantation owners and the way their sons used to do, even with my sisters. I talk a little bit about that, and it's broke my heart. There's no justifiable resentment. So I'm just ready to pour back into the religious ministry. And I'm just hoping the outhouse of White House can be a blessing to every human on the planet. I believe it's a message for humankind, not just single moms or people that are looking for excuses. This would be a blessing for humankind. And, man, I just feel that the hand of God is just all over it on every page.
I love it. From the outhouse to the White House, Jimmy Moseley, what a delight to speak with you. And we can tell everybody that you can pick up the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for having me. Indeed, an honor.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Here for this edition of America Tonight. It's crazy what's happening in the FCC chairman's neighborhood. In fact, some of these violent protest groups who have organized and they're targeting him, going after him. And of course, this is all over what we're talking about, this whole fight over, I'll just sum it up, calling it the internet. And supposedly it was supposed to start off as peaceful vigils, but now it has gone completely in a different direction. So who better to join us than Deborah Collier, who serves as the Director of Technology and Telecommunications Policy for Citizens Against Government Waste. So, Deborah, thanks so much for coming on the show and kind of flesh this out for us. What's happened here?
Well, what's happening is today the FCC is voting to overturn what happened in 2015 with the internet, where the previous chairman had imposed Title II regulations, which is really restrictive government hammered down regulations on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's restricted investment. It's made it harder for small internet service providers to expand. It's just really become a cumbersome burden on the ability to bridge the digital divide. And these protesters were the same people, basically, that back in November of 2014 were outside blocking the driveway to Chairman Tom Wheeler's house, too. The goal is to get a government-run internet, which is the antithesis of a free and open internet in order to have more control over what happens online. But the protesters are claiming that it's to free up the internet. How that happens, I don't know. The real solution here is for Congress to step in, lay out clear set rules on how the internet should be governed. And that's just not happened yet. So
yeah, it's interesting, too. Let me jump in here, because you know, you see everything that comes across your desk, and you're in the middle of watching what's going on here. And it is a beast in trying to figure out the regulation of the internet. But what happens if there's just absolutely nothing? I mean, we just keep on ticking, so to speak.
Well, the internet prior to 2015 was regulated.
Yeah.
The Federal Trade Commission had enforcement responsibility over consumer privacy, any consumer harms that might be done. That was under the Federal Trade Commission's purview. Whereas once it became reclassified as Title II,
yeah,
the FCC became in charge. The FCC had minor responsibility of privacy for common carriers like the landline copper wire telephones from the 1930s. But really on the internet, they didn't have the experience or expertise to manage online communications privacy. So rolling back Title II will return that responsibility back to the Federal Trade Commission, which is really important, I think, to most people in America. They want to make sure their online communications are secure and kept private. That falls back to the Federal Trade Commission. But with, as the law currently is, with the regulations that are in place from 2015, right now the inexperienced cop on the beat, basically, is in charge of consumer privacy.
And of course, there's a lot of problems with that, as we know. And you said it. The one thing that we would definitely, I think, all agree on, especially we're seeing what's happening, these bombs, these randomware bombs and everything else, these attacks, and not good. If somebody's not out there at least trying to claw through some of that, it becomes much more dangerous for all of us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you really want consumer privacy protected, but you also want somebody who is experienced in managing these cyber threats that are out there. People don't realize how much internet service providers are doing to protect their information from cyber threats even. It's mind-boggling how protected we can be through light touch regulatory schemes, because frankly, these threats, like the ransomware threats, they don't just affect the individual consumer, they affect the entire networks. So it's in the best interest of these service providers to protect their own systems.
Yeah, boy, and no kidding. And, you know, you have to go back to when you talk about Title II, because there's confusion on Title II, and I think you cleared that up nicely at the top of this. But Title II of the Communications Act is the Communications Act of 1934.
That's right.
And so I think initially, I think that's why that kind of got buried. Because here's the thing, and you know, because you're paying attention to this kind of thing, obviously as a watchdog, but I think what happens is we're so bombarded by so much, a lot of people don't really understand what that means, and they don't take a closer look at it. They're just hearing some of what's being said out there, and they're very confused by that. And that's why the FCC is so important in this.
Right, right. And what a lot of people don't understand is that Title II classification does not equal an open internet.
Yeah.
The internet was open prior to the reclassification. What Title II does is puts heavy restrictions on internet service providers. FCC has already been receiving responses to the notice proposed rulemaking from small rural ISPs who are saying Title II is hindering our ability to raise money to invest in new infrastructure so we can serve our consumers who want access. So it's actually creating a barrier to people to get online. And overturning this classification and restoring it back to a Title I information service and removing these heavy burdens on Internet service providers. And a lot of this is reporting burdens. They have to report tons of information to the FCC.
Mm.
By removing these restrictions, it will free up their ability to invest in new infrastructure. And frankly, I grew up in a rural community. I understand how hard it is to get access. And if you're hindering the ability of these small rural providers to invest in infrastructure, these rural parts of our nation are going to continue to lag behind in Internet access.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so this FCC decision is going to have lasting implications on the Internet as we sum this all up, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why, as you're listening to us, it's so important to really understand what Deborah's saying, I think, and to understand what's going on here. And, of course, there's that the public comment section of it. Hasn't that exploded a little bit?
Yes, there's a lot of very bizarre things showing up on the public comments. Some things
yeah.
that are not repeatable. Chairman Pai actually did a YouTube video recently that where he was reading some of the comments that the FCC received, and they're a little bit off. The public comment period, though, is really important. If people think that the Internet is important to them and they want to maintain it in an open manner and they want to let the FCC know that, that's what the public comment period is for. And once the notice of proposed rulemaking is published in the Federal Register, that comment period will start. There will be a clock on it. Whether it's 30, 60, 90 days, I'm not sure. But there'll be a comment period where people can make comments to the FCC, letting the FCC know how they feel about the Internet, what they would like to see done with the Internet, what their views are on the NPRM. And then the FCC will take that information, review it, and try to incorporate the best practices into the final rules. And
yeah.
it's really key that people let their voices be heard. Like I said, the comments that have been out there are kind of strange. Citizens Against Government Waste provided comments. We try to be a little bit thoughtful on what we comment. You know, we do try to make thoughtful comments. But we, you know, the great thing about this particular chairman is that he opened up the transparency of this FCC is phenomenal because you now see before the FCC votes what they're voting on, which before this, you had no clue what was coming up. You didn't know what was going to be in the notice of proposed rulemakings. You just got hit with it, and then you reacted. Here, you've got a preview of what's coming, and then after it's published, you have further time to digest it and make really thoughtful comments and have something really formulative, and it's really empowering to the American people to have this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Deborah Collier, thanks so much for joining us. Director of Technology Telecommunications Policy for Citizens Against Government Waste. And thanks to all of you for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
All right.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.